This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Open up your hands. Just extend your hands like it. It's just a small symbolic thing that we're going to do this morning. It's no ritual or no something. I just want you to extend your hands like that and say, Lord, this morning I'm here to receive. Lord, this morning, I give you my week. I give you my burdens. I give you my troubles. I give you my fears. I give you what is not from you. And Lord, I receive from you today. Open my ears, open my eyes, and open my heart that I may see you, that I may hear you, and that I may feel you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence dwell in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, band. I love it when we have a bit of extended worship sessions and my sermon becomes shorter. So God speaks more through worship than he will actually speak through my 10 pieces of paper that I've got here this morning. I'm just going to give us some light. So it's just beautiful to see all the new faces, some old faces, some happy faces, some worried faces. But you know what? At the end of the day, you're gonna walk out to you and you're going to say, Lord, we're going to take this week on because I'm excited standing here and I've been pondering about this message now it's been in my heart for the whole week. It's becoming part of my heart, and I'm just excited. You know, I woke up at 3:30 this morning, just finalizing some things in my preparation, saying, Lord, you know, this is not about me. It's not about what I bring to the table. My words, my piece of paper will never be enough. It will never be good enough for you guys, but the Word of God is truth and it's knowledge. It's part of the Spirit. It's part of who we are supposed to be. So last week we spoke about our identity in Christ, and the amazing thing was there's three things that stood out for me in a passage that we read, and it's number one thing is solitude. I said it before and I'm going to say it many times again this year, that if we find ourselves in solitude with Christ, we find our identity. And we find our purpose within the community of fellow believers. And you'll see it right at the end. I'm going to show it to you. It's not something that I've made up. But somebody else is just a bit smarter than me, and they know how to compose the words much better so that I can use it from them and make sense in what I'm saying. So the first one is solitude. You know, we find our identity in solitude with Christ. That is a deliberate decision or in a deliberate place where we go to say, Lord, I need to spend time. I need to read your word. I need to sing songs from within your word. And the second thing is it comes a sacrifice when God reveals certain things in our heart. And the last thing is salvation. Now, when we think of salvation, we think of that exceptional moment in our lives where we give our hearts to the Lord. But salvation is also freedom. You know, that's a release of the bondage that we are in. And our identity is salvation to us in Christ, because we are released from having to be somebody in this world, which they expect, but we don't have to be. So just those three things that you can, the three S's, I said I'm gonna set a challenge to try and work through the alphabet this year, to try and create 3 points every week, using the alphabet and different, trying to create 3 easy points for you to remember. So, again, we cannot assume or decide, but we have to decide and we have to receive this. So, one thing is true, I cannot do it on my own. You can try to, but you're going to fail miserably. You have to decide and receive. So in the past few weeks, we've spent some time on vision. We spent some time on recognizing the voice of God. We spent some time on identity. And this morning, and in the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, we're going to speak about recognizing God in a situation. Okay, so it's the beginning of a new year. I spoke to somebody this morning who said he feels like he's been working 3 months already. You know, he needs a holiday. Work is busy. People, we are busy. Everything is just busy. When you ask somebody, hey, how's your week been? He's just going to say, ooh, busy, 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 busy. You know, we are a massive, I want to say, amount of bees, because all year is busy, 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 busy. But two things. In our busyness, we get the good, we get the bad. Are you going to continue? I'm going to stop you there because I'm not going to speak about the ugly because there is no ugly. We've got two things. We've got the good and we've got the bad. And recognizing God in a situation, we always tend to go to the bad side. You know, you always want to recognize God when there's trouble, when there's difficult situations, when things aren't going according to how you planned it. So the emphasis a lot is about what's happening here. What's happening with this guy, you know? And am I allowing this person, am I allowing myself to really be in Christ so that my situations and circumstances can change? But it's a difficult choice sometimes. It's a difficult thing to do because we want to be in control, okay? Let me just see, and pure honesty and a raise of hands, who wants to be in control of their lives? I mean, okay, we all want to do that. So it's so difficult. If I say this morning, Auntie Doris, you have control over my life. Jock, you have control over my life. They're not really going to succeed because I'm not going to let it. It's difficult for me to let it go. But you see, God is in every situation, and He's in every circumstance and every aspect of our lives. He is already there because He was there in the beginning. He created us with a purpose. And I want to read the first scripture this morning from Genesis 41, verse 38. And make a note of this because you want to put it up on your mirror in the morning. You want to recite it. You want to make it part of your identity. And it says this, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Wow. So it might seem insignificant for you when you read it, not right now, but we are talking about a guy who went through many a thing. He was thrown in a pit. He was sold as a slave. Then he was jailed. Then he was accused of adultery. And eventually, he became the second in charge, the most influential man in the whole of Egypt. So I've spilled the beans, and you probably know who this is. But here's the thing, before we get to him, we all face good and bad situations. Joseph had both. Joseph had the good, and he also had the bad. But in his case, slightly a bit more on the bad side of how things were dealt. But in both circumstances, his recognition of God in the way that he saw his circumstances is what changed him and allowed God to work with him to become who he was. Because this wasn't a situation. This wasn't a man destined by himself or by other people. His dad didn't come to him and say, hey, you are going to be the next in line or next to Pharaoh in 30 or 40 years from now. 30 years. It's very similar patterns or similar lines that we can draw with between him and Jesus and the way in their ministry. But the main thing here is we need to understand Joseph had a difficult life. He was a spoiled little brat, okay? He was a tattletale. He loved telling on his brothers. And the thing is, if you think of Jacob and the family that Joseph came out of, man, that sounds to me in a sense like Jerry Springer stuff. You know, it's completely feels like a completely dysfunctional family. You know, the maid has been used as a concubine, and this one and that. Man, when I read that, I was like, Lord, thank goodness we have seen the light, and there is some structure in our lives. Because I cannot begin to imagine the circumstances and the situation. But if you see the background, if you see what this guy, where he came from, and that he was the youngest of 12 brothers, he had a sister, then we had that last part, then we get that part where we can understand why he was a little spoiled brat and a tattletale. Because he loved the attention. And he was just in his father's space the whole time, looking for things in his brothers that were wrong. But we're not going to talk about him being a tattletale. We're going to talk about him recognizing God in his situations that he were. So we're going to highlight this week we're going to speak about the good. Next week we're going to speak about the bad. No, I'm lying. Other way around. The bad this week, the good next week. So I want to get the bad out of the way. Then we can speak about the good. And we're not going to talk about the ugly because there is no ugly. You know, God is just an amazing God. So let's go to Genesis 37, verse 18 to 24. If you have your Bibles, open it up. If you have your notebooks, make a note of it, because you want to go and read this few chapters. From chapter 30 up until 46 in Genesis, you can find the story of Joseph. And it goes like this. So just, they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard this, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into the pit here and in the wilderness. But do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." You see, one good brother. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So immediately what comes to mind when I think about that pit, I feel the smell. I can smell the wet dampiness and the ground that he must have been sitting in. You know, he had this wonderful, wonderful clothes, and that was torn apart. He was not accepted by his brothers as he thought he would, because earlier he had a dream. This guy said, "Hey, you are all going to bow before me." And they didn't like this. So we get to the point of the story where his dad sent him and said, "Listen, go and check where your brothers are and report back to me." And he went through a specific town, and he got to this place where he asked the people, "Listen, have you seen my brothers? They look after the flock, X, Y, Z." And they directed him to where the brothers were. And the very next moment, when they saw him from afar, because I don't think it was very difficult. You know, if I have this shiny clothes robe on, and I come from afar, especially here in Namibia, down south where you can see people leaving 3 days later, you'll still see them, you know, when you look out the window. So you can, they saw him from afar, that he was coming, and as he was getting towards him, hey, they started making plans. You know, they probably had enough time to think of everything that they can do to this chap. So their hearts weren't in a very nice place. But how do we recognize God in this situation? Because if you think, let's put ourselves in Joseph's shoes. So he gets to his brothers. All he has to do is one simple little task is, "Listen, I need to know what's going on. How many sheep is dead? Just give me a quick report. I'll be back. I'll go to dad and I'll tell him you guys are right. I'll put in a good word for you." His mindset was probably, "Listen, I'm going to catch them out. I'm going to see what they've done wrong." And then He gets to this place, and his brothers just dismantles him in a sense and puts him in a pit. And the very next moment, he gets sold as a slave by people coming from far, and he gets sent to Egypt. So they plan to, this is what the enemy will do to you as well. So we're speaking about specifically recognizing God in the bad situation. So many of us go through the troubled times. Many of us go through situations where we feel that we do not have the control. So I'm going to give you 3 points today that you can remember. And it's very easy. We're going to use the first letter of the alphabet, A. Okay? So beginning of the week, this is the 3 things that you're going to remember. The first thing is you're going to assess. Okay? We're going to check out the situation. So the enemy does that. Enemy comes, and it will try to dismantle every situation around you. It will come in and say, hey, we cannot let this guy achieve what he is busy doing. Because here's the thing, God has a specific purpose and a specific plan for you. He chose you. He did not just put you here by accident. There's no accidents with God. You are purposefully designed to be in this place. In this building here this morning, you have a specific purpose. You are not here by chance. God does not work with chance. He works with purpose. He works with obedience. So in certain cases, we become arrogant in the situation. We try and assess the thing in our, the situation and or the circumstance in ourselves, and we say, hey, I'm gonna handle this, don't worry, it's not big enough. So by those thoughts, the enemy draws us away from God. And then when the darkness hits, that's that moment that that everything in a sense spirals out of control. And now it can be with the smallest thing, like just having to deal with a colleague at work, or a wrong input that you've made on the accounting system, and all of a sudden your boss is going to be in your because it's got a ripple effect. But on the other hand, it can be a massive big thing. You're sitting in a situation where you try to be honest at work, but your colleagues or people around you are trying to frame you in order to get you out. Okay, it might be family things. There are many circumstances in our lives, situations that is a challenge for us, and we do not know how to get there. But we run like a headless chicken in this thinking, hey, I can sort it out myself. And God says, whoa, stop. If you find yourself in the pit, even in the smallest way, stop for a moment there and just assess on what's going on here. Okay? Put a couple of mirrors up and say, hey, God, what's happening? Let me just check. What's happening in the surroundings that I have here? So often these things are either caused by ourselves or by somebody else, our work, family, people have it for us. So we need to stop and assess. And then I normally ask these questions. And I say, how will I respond? So what will my response to the situation be? Because think ahead of yourselves. You don't want to respond in a way that can just bring you further down, but you want to respond in a way that will change the circumstances. So the second thing I then do is I say, okay, but I'm in this situation, so in a sense, God, where are you? Because sometimes we've missed it. Sometimes we've run past the voice of God and we didn't stop to listen. Okay? And then the last one, that's where community comes in. Have you consulted with a close friend about it? See, our churches has become in a somewhat space of a bit of slander and a bit of what has he done? What has that person done? And it hasn't become a safe place anymore. And that's why I believe God is speaking to all of us and starting with me firstly, saying, are you making your surroundings a safe place for others to approach you? Because how can we be the salt and the light of the earth and the world, in the world, with Jesus around us, but I go and I'm a tattletale, or I'm arrogant about my faith and who I am? There's a difference between arrogance and surety, and insurance. Knowing who you are in Christ, but being humble enough to give it, to tell it to the world. You see, we need to make community a safe place. And if I ask you now, who's your close friend in whom you can confide these circumstances, situations, will you be able to name someone that you know will go through all the lengths of the earth to help you out, even just to hear what you say, even tell you when you are wrong? So first thing this morning is assess. Joseph must have sat in that pit and he looked around him and he felt the damp. He felt the alone. He felt the nakedness of being stripped from everything. Maybe that's where you find yourself. Maybe you've been just stripped of a bit of a title or a robe or something. So sit down, sit back, and assess where you are and what's happening around you. Because this will help you get the worst possible outcome out of your mind. Because our minds continuously think, okay, but what is the worst possible outcome? This is going to be bad. It's not going to work for me. But we need to recognize now, and sitting in that moment is saying, Lord, what is there that I need to do in my heart and in my life so that you can take over? And that's where we reach out to God. You know, the good biblical way is to be in God at all times. You will hear that, and I will say it, and a lot of other preachers and speakers will say, be in God all the time. How many of you are constantly in God all the time? Let's be honest. It's not that easy. That's why we need to sit down, we need to assess our situation, saying, hey, where are you in this situation? Or have I missed you? And if you find yourself in that place of saying, Lord, I do not see you, I do not recognize you, I do not, there's a problem here. Then you have the assurance that when you call out to God, when you call out to the Spirit in your life and say, Lord, what do I need to do? He is faithful and he will answer. His word is clear on that. You see, Jesus was also tempted in the wilderness. You think of him, he went to the wilderness and what was the one thing that he could show Satan and say, or say to Satan, and Satan didn't have an answer for it? He had the word of God. He had the double-edged sword in his hand that pierces through bone and marrow, the truth. And he said to him, listen, this is what the Lord says, or it is written. Okay? So your situation, when you assess it, you need to go back and say, have I got my weaponry, my armor in place? Because if my armor is not in place, if I do not know how to work with the sword of life, I'm going to run into a battle where everybody else is, or the enemy is armed to the teeth, and I come with a pea shooter, a little straw and a couple of pieces of paper. It's not going to make a difference. We need to know the word of God. Matthew 26:39 says, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus, in this last moment, in this last attempt of his life, saying, Lord, if it's your will, if this cup needs to pass by me, just let it happen. But that very moment, he was in God. And he recognized God in that situation because he assessed it. He knew, hey, this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy. Okay. Let us continue. Joseph was also in the same boat. He did not know what was going to happen after he gets out of the pit. His brothers intended to kill him, but God made a way and allowed him to be sold. So he probably sat there, he cried, and then he goes into that regret and that guilt, and oh, I shouldn't have said this to my brothers. If I just kept quiet, this would have happened. You know, that's what the assessment will bring forth. The enemy will sit in your assessment and they will say, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. They're going to accuse you. But what is the key here? Is to say, hey, what has the Word of God said? Romans 8 verse 1, for there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? All right. Romans 5 verse 2 says there's no shame in those who are in Christ. Romans 8 verse 38 says God lets everything happen for those who love Him. Okay? Who are called according to His will. And so we can go on. If God is not against us, who can be? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? God will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are the kind of words, those are part of your assessment that you need to write down and say, this is the promises of the Lord that no one's going to take away from me. So no matter my circumstance, I'm in a difficult place, I'm in a troublesome place, but whoa, this is who God is in my life. Recognizing the higher authority over our circumstances. So it helps you to get a bird's eye view. So when you go through a difficult situation, you need to stop for a moment. You need to assess. And that brings us to the next point. Once you've assessed, you've seen that, you know, God wants to challenge you in this. Maybe there's something that you need to learn. Maybe there's something that you need to do. Is acknowledge. You know, we so often do not want to acknowledge our circumstances. We do not want to acknowledge the place that we are in. So the second A for this morning is acknowledge or activate. Many moons ago, I was a hard-headed chap. I'm working on it. Day in and day out. But this, before I got saved, it was to the power of 100. You know that maths thing that you do? You draw that little box and you put something in there and then you put the extra couple of 100 million zeros in there. That was me. You know, you couldn't tell me anything in life because I knew all the answers. And if you wanted to tell me, I'd still give you an answer that sounded correct to me and I will convince you that it was correct. That was my life. I didn't want to assess and I didn't want to acknowledge my circumstances because I always knew that, you know what, I've been dealt a hard card in life. You know, God took, I had this thing of saying, you know, God took my dad away from me in 1995. I remember the World Cup and I remember this, and I was 12 years old. I remember that one of the teachers called me out and said, hey, you need to come to rugby practice. We need you in the first team. I said, hey, I'm not going to play rugby. Who are you? Man. If I look back how embarrassed I am in my situation there. Because I was hard-headed. I was a little brat. And I wanted people to hear me. So my situations was always, I will sort it out. If I assessed it, it was easy enough to sort it out. I'll wheel and deal, I'll make a way to get around it. But that brought so much sorrow in my life, so much hardship, so much broken relationships, that in so many ways, still today, there's relationships that are still not in place 100% because of choices that I made. But God needs to be placed in a situation so that our stubbornness can be set aside. recognizing God in a situation and acknowledging that you cannot do this on your own, that God is the one that is the only one that can take charge and take the circumstance or the and change it, means something happens to you in your heart and in your life. So here's the thing. Unlike our parents, God is never surprised. Circumstance or the situation that you find yourself in, God knew the day when He made you. He's not surprised. But I'm still surprised. If Faith sits on my shoulders and she goes down and she grabs my ear for the first time, or she starts saying certain words, or she goes and does something, it's like, wow, how did this happen? Child's amazing. Best baby in the world. Or something bad happens, and I was like, to my children, I cannot believe this happened to them. Are you surprised in situations? Is your parents still surprised in situations? I just love the look on my mom's face when I tell her about things I've done in school that she did not know about. You know, that expression just jumps out from, wow, here comes another story. And it's like when you start telling it to somebody in a crowd, all the eyes just go, you said what? You did what? No, God is not surprised by this. He is that father whose door is always open, who knows exactly. You know, they say moms knows everything. They've got this, sixth sense. If you put your peas underneath your bowl and you try and hide it because you don't want to eat it, they know. I got away with that. But acknowledging our situation can open the door for God to help. So by assessing it, and the same with Joseph's life, he had to stop there for a moment. He had time to think in this pit, and then he had to say, God, I'm sorry. Now I acknowledge I'm in a difficult situation. So what do we do next? You see, God intervenes in that moment because Joseph could have died. His brothers wanted to kill him, but through Reuben, Reuben persuaded the brothers to say, hey, don't. And that's what God comes and do in our lives, in our situations. You know, He doesn't just let a situation go. He's not going to say to you, hey, because you've chosen me now, don't worry, whoop, clap of a finger, and everything will disappear. If you've made debt, you've accumulated that over the past few years, and now all of a sudden you're in deep trouble, God is not going to say, there we go. And why does He not do that? Because He's a loving Father, and He teaches us lessons to do this. But by acknowledging that you are in the situation, God puts a mirror in front of you and say, hey, ask the question first, what is going on in your own heart? What is there that needs to change in your own heart so that from this point of view, you will view the situation from a different perspective and a different angle? Not because of who you are, but because of who I am in you. Okay? Romans 5 verse 3-5 says, now, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's a promise from the Lord. The Spirit is always with us. And acknowledging it, we acknowledge the situation. We acknowledge that, you know what, in our own capacity we cannot do this. But, God, You can. And show me how to get through this. Because now the moment that you reflect in the mirror your own heart, God's going to start to show you what is happening. And this has been something I've been dealing with for the past year now in my life. In every circumstance, every situation where I feel, oh, I cannot handle this. I was like, the Lord's saying, okay, check your own heart. What's happening there? Even if it's just the slightest little thing in your heart, God is going to show it and expose it. And he wants you to deal with it. And the moment that you deal with it, your character starts changing. Your attitude changes towards the circumstance and the situation. Then this problem becomes something that you can take on. Because you grow in courage. Okay? You grow in hope that, yes, there's a way out for this. It's not going to be easy. But the next time that you face the same situation or you encounter somebody that is going through the same situation, what's going to happen? You're going to be able to help this person. I believe God is deliberate in what he allows in our lives to happen so that we can learn from it, we can gain that experience. If you want to be a pilot, you need to study. You need to write exams. You need to go through practicals, hours and hours and hours. And eventually you get this PPL, but then there's an ongoing thing. You write exams continuously. And we should be thankful for those exams. Because if they do not write the exams, and things change in the aeroplane, as they do with all of life circumstances, you will have the confidence that by writing, that the pilot who wrote the exam will be able to keep you in the air. But if he didn't write the exam, if he bypassed it and says, "Ah, don't worry, I'm okay, I'll get through this, we'll just handle it as we go along," chances of you not being alive and getting to a sudden stop is going to be there. So Joseph had a great calling on his life, and God needed him to learn that this is not grounds for Joseph to go and brag about it. Not grounds for Joseph to go being arrogant about it. But really, allowing God's purpose in his life to be fulfilled. And that's why we acknowledge our situation. It's our activation process, saying, "Yes, Lord, I know you've got a greater purpose in my life. So what can I learn from this? What can I take out from this situation, this challenge, this thing that you brought upon in my life?" It might not even just be you, but it might be somebody close to you. And when you realize where you are, that's where God can continue to work. So don't be blinded by your own outcome. Don't be blinded by the circumstances and feel that there's no, it's not going to, I know where this is heading. Acknowledge it. And your eyes will start looking at the situation differently. And then we get to the last point, and we're going to finish up. The last point is accept. We acknowledge it, and then we accept it. If you don't accept that you are in a certain circumstance or a situation, you're going to stay in that situation for a very long time. Again, this is the most difficult thing to do. I don't want to accept because then I have to go through it. The moment that I accept it, I'm going to go through it. It's like standing on the biggest water slide. The moment that you put your feet in the water, you're still in that place of saying, "Okay, I've acknowledged that I'm on the top here, but now." But the moment you release your hands from the handlebars, there's no going back. Halfway through that slide, nobody's going to catch you and say, "Okay, don't worry, we'll take you back because you didn't want to." You're going to go through it. But accepting it and allowing yourself to go with the curves, going with the flow of things, evaluating your circumstances, assessing it, and making sure, hey, am I still in line? Am I hearing God's voice? And go back 2 weeks and listen to, recognizing God's voice in our lives. Seven points that you can clearly identify God's voice. How do we test it? How do we make sure? But accepting it just brings a release in that circumstance, in that situation. Acceptance is release. Not release from the circumstance, but a release in your own ability to handle it and allowing God to take this further. So acceptance releases you from carrying the burden alone and helps you to realize you aren't laboring in vain. And it ignites the spark that will cause the fire in our hearts, a fire created by God for our lives to shine for His glory. It helps us to realize that we have a purpose and that we are not alone in this. When Joseph accepted this, his attitude changed. And even though he went through these difficult circumstances, you know, being put in jail back then was not the hotels that people stay in today. Okay, there was no demand for DSTV, no demand for good food. They were put in some circumstances in places that were old sewage holes in dungeons. You can barely breathe. It was about 4 feet high, so you never had the chance to stand up. 2 feet, 3 feet wide. You were hurdled in that place for the duration of your time. They did not release you until it was your time. They did not give you free time out in the yard. So being put in those circumstances, being put in those situations, could have easily led people like Paul, all the disciples, Silas, Peter, they were all in jail at some stage. They could have easily given up. But they recognized that there's a purpose in life, in their life, and God has designed it. And Joseph accepted, his attitude changed, and he started asking what he could do. Here's his response, saying, God, what can I do now? The hardest lesson still remains to this moment, to ask the Lord, what needs to change in my heart first? Acceptance does that. It changes us first, our outlook on the on the situations in front of us. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 18 says the following, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Assess, acknowledge, and accept. And this is what God does. The veil is removed from your eyes and your face. In the Old Testament, when Moses had to go up to the mountain to meet with the Lord, the veil was placed on his face because of the holiness of God. Otherwise, he would have been disintegrated. He actually hid behind a rock. But Jesus came and he says, hey, I have made a way for you, and that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove the veil so that you have a direct passage through me to the Father. And what is it? What does it entail? If God is up there, this is us. God sees the bad and the impurities in our lives because He's a holy God. Everything that is not the same as He is easily identifiable. But Jesus came and He said, hey, here you go. What does the Father see? He sees us through Jesus' blood that was poured out over us. Your circumstance and your situation is not going to change or not going to become better unless you allow God in your situations. So as you guys can come up to the front, I'm going to end up with one last key verse Philippians 4, verse 13. Now, many of you know that. Many of you have said it before. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Do you guys understand what Paul said here? In the verses after that, he explains it so clearly. He says that he says, yes, it was. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians yourself, know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. The Philippians, the only church that gave him and received from him right in the beginning of his ministry. Nobody wanted to partner with him. So often we are found in that situation where nobody wants to partner with us because of our circumstances and our situation. That's where the church comes in. That's where we as the body of Christ need to be there for one another. And saying, hey, how do I partner with you? What can I give you? What can I receive from you? And this is for today. This is your message. As you know, God is there every day. Every hour, every minute. You are not alone. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. God has already extended his hand for you this morning. He's already come to that place of saying, come, draw near. Because your circumstances is not going to be dictated by what you think about it, but how your mind is going to be renewed when God challenges your heart and works in your heart for you to think about the things differently. Think about the challenges and the circumstances differently. God has a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. And the sooner you realize it and recognize it, and the sooner you start working in that heart of yours and this heart of mine, the sooner God can be released in our lives. So that salvation, freedom from bondage, can happen. Let us all stand together. We're going to put the lights off and we're just going to spend a moment with the Lord. This morning, we came early to church to pray a bit. And I put a background music on, and I took the guitar, and I just started playing a strumming on a note, and as if the Spirit just came and gave me these words to give unto God this morning. And that actually became a song for me. Saying, you know, the title of the song is, We Give You Glory, Lord. And it just started with saying, You are wonderful. You are wonderful, Lord. And we give you glory. You are glorious and you're glorious, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. With our hands lifted high, we give you glory, Lord. Search, O God, this heart of mine, we give you glory. We exalt your name, O Lord, we give you glory. Maybe God has placed a song in your heart this morning. Maybe God has really just laid something specific on your heart this morning. Maybe God has brought you into this moment in the situation where He wants you to open up, to acknowledge, to recognize what is going on in your life, and that you, in your own capacity, cannot do it alone. But as the church did with Paul, as God did with Adam and Eve. You know, he wanted to partner with them. But what is your response this morning? Saying, Lord, maybe I'm not in a difficult situation at the moment. You know, that's perfect. We want that as well. But Lord, I want to recognize you so that you can help me to be there for somebody else. To be there for that colleague next to me, that person at my work that I know is going through difficulties. And Lord, this morning I want to partner with you so that, Lord, I've assessed the situation and I know there's nothing I can do. In my own life, I cannot do that. But Lord, in the person next to me life, I cannot change his circumstances. But I acknowledge, Lord, that he needs you, that they need you, that I need you in my heart and in my life. And Lord, I accept. I am here now. I'm here in this pit. I'm here in this dungeon. Oh Lord, I'm here next to this person. I'm placed there for a reason. I'm placed there for a purpose. Partner with me in this moment. Partner with me so that I can help. Not in my own capacity, but Lord, so that I can step back and see what the miraculous work that you can do in other people's lives. The most difficult thing is to say, Lord, look at my heart first. Because we don't want to find the fault within ourselves. But I can promise you that every time that you will look, every time that you're going to reflect, God is going to show you something. The Spirit is going to reveal something. And maybe that's something that you need to deal with this morning. Maybe there's something in your heart that you need to bring before the Lord. And here's the thing, acknowledging it and active is like that activation. You know, the only way you're going to get Coke to fly out of the bottle is if you put the Mentos in it. Okay, we need that to happen. Acknowledge it, but take that step forward and say, Lord, here I am. So I want to call out two people this morning as we're going to do that last song of I Surrender. The band's going to lead us in that. But there's a moment here for you this morning where you have an opportunity to just come and stand before the Lord. So I'm going to call out our leaders to the front. They're going to stand ready to help pray with you. Our hearts are here this morning not to get the dirty laundry on the table, but really just to serve you with humbleness, with humility. Serve you because God has served us first, served you. And God is here to step in, to take over, to take control. And as our leaders come to the front, I want to invite you guys to the front. If there's a difficult circumstance or situation that you are facing at the moment, we want to pray with you. We want to pray that God will continue to work on the outcome. And that you will continue to see his outcome. We're going to pray this morning for eyes to open, for ears to hear, for hearts to feel. Okay? That's what we are going to pray for. So if you find yourself in that difficult situation, I want to invite you to the front. You can come stand here on my right-hand side, your left hand. But then there's also that area where we say, okay, listen, JP, I've heard all these things now. I've never given my heart to the Lord. I've never done that commitment of saying, with the mouth I confess and with my heart I believe, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, that you know what, Lord, I give you my heart. I take that step. I acknowledge that in my life, you have not been number one. You've not been a priority. But Lord, I want to do that this morning. I want to step out and say, I accept that I need you in my life. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, you've never confessed it, because that's the thing. You need to confess it. You need to say, Lord, I give you my heart. This is not a thing that happens in the inner room, in that place of isolation. You do it, but there's a date and a time stamp on it. And there's a dividing line in your life saying that if I've done it, Lord, I'm going to step over this and I'm not going to turn back. metanoia, the Greek word for 180 degree turn, walking away from the sin in our lives. Are you going to get it right the first time? Absolutely not. Matthew 7 is clear that those who call upon the name of the Lord, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will get into heaven there. But I will say, get away. That's what the words that Matthew 21:22 says. I will say to them, get away from me because I do not know you. If you long for a relationship with the Lord, if you've given your heart to the Lord and you want that relationship to be just confirmed and restored, please come to the front to my left-hand side. So we're going to enter into the song, and I really don't want you just to stand there or start walking out. Do not miss the appointment that God has with you. Just acknowledge it. Just take that step and say, Lord, I'm accepting this morning. I cannot do this on my own. I need you. I surrender. In Jesus' name, let's do it. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're busy working in everybody's heart. Father, I want to thank you that you've called those people, you've called us for a purpose, that you've placed us in this place this morning for a purpose, Lord God, that this purpose, Lord God, is not to, your purpose for us is not to harm us, Lord God, but really for us to prosper in your kingdom, to give you glory. Lord, we want to give you glory this morning. We want to honor you with our obedience. We want to honor you, Lord God, in acknowledging that in our own lives, we cannot do things on our own. But we are more than conquerors through Christ who is in us, through Christ who strengthens us, Lord God. So we call out to your name this morning. We call out, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our stories and of our lives. Father, come cement this moment in our hearts. Come cement this moment, Lord God, where you take control. If you need prayer, please come to the front. Do not miss this moment.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.